6 months ago, none of them would have stepped forward. Right? I had a moment of questioning what was going on, but it's God moving on the children. Amen? Today is a continuation from last week, the message last week. You're probably going to like me less, but that's just the way it goes. I don't like to bring bad news, but if you don't hear the news that I bring, then you'll never know what's going on. Amen? So this is an article that was written by Karen Hunt. And it's really earth-shattering. The title of the argument is called Institutionalized Genocide of Undesirables. No longer must we be moral or have a conscience. We trust the state to be our conscience, absolving us from all moral responsibility. Just keep that thought in mind. I'm moving a little bit ahead of the Holy Spirit. To continue with this article. A medic from the 3rd Armored Division of the United States 1st Army examines an emaciated inmate amongst the dead and dying victims of Nazi Germany's effort to exterminate the Jewish population, political and social dissidents, homosexuals, gypsies, and prisoners of war, amongst many others at the Middle Badura concentration camp. I thought I'd never see the day when this would actually reflect normal conversations within the media, the government, our health officials, and now in my own writing. The sea is boiling hot because you ordinary citizens made it that way. Yes, pigs have wings. Science can modify pigs, and it can modify you. For your own good, you ungrateful science denier. Monkeypox. We laughed at it in the beginning. Come on, seriously? And now, well, thank goodness, it's a disease of gay men. Because they do bad things. We don't do bad things. If they get sick and die, so what? They deserve it. We don't. No longer must we be moral or have a conscience. We trust the state to be our conscience, absolving us from all moral responsibility. This is how liberals, conservatives, blacks, whites, browns, rich, poor, you name it, are conditioned to condemn their neighbors, even their friends and family members, turning good people into willing participants in this genocide. Do people really have such short memories? In the beginning, COVID was a disease of the elderly. Thank goodness. We'd already been removing our elderly from society and putting them into care facilities. Our patience and respect for our elders and the wisdom they offered us was gone. This callous disregard for our elderly contributed more than we realized to our downfall. So learn a lesson from a new film called Plan 75 by Japanese director and writer Shei Hayawaka. Close to 30% of Japanese population is over 65. The majority are women. And that rate is expected to continue rising in coming decades. In the movie, anybody over 75 is encouraged to sign up for a deal with the government by which they receive a sum of money in return for agreeing to be euthanized. A collective funeral is thrown in for free. Slick ad campaigns and calls for people with soothing voices are part of the effort to get people to sign up. Handsome advisors list the small pleasures candidates can afford with the money. You'll be able to go to the restaurant, they said. On the face of it, the government's Plan 75 is full of goodwill and friendliness and pragmatism, but in truth, it is both very cruel and shameful, the director says. The aging of the population is not a recent problem. I've always heard people discussing it. When I was young, a long life was considered to be a good thing. People had respect for older people. That's no longer the case. Quite insidiously, people are coming to accept that certain segment of society need to be removed for the good of the whole. WHO declares rapidly spreading monkeypox outbreak a global health emergency. This is all part of the Biden administration's push to incorporate its additional amendments to the World Health Organization's governing regulations, giving Director General Tedros unilateral authority to declare a public health emergency in any nation based on whatever evidence he chooses. We should be well familiar with this pattern. In January 2020, the WHO declared coronavirus outbreak a global health emergency. At that stage, the mysterious coronavirus had sickened around 9,800 people worldwide and killed at least 213, all of them in China. By April 2020, an article in Politico talked about the silent massacre of Italy's nursing homes. In Italy, France, Ireland, Spain, and Belgium, between 42 and 57% of deaths from the coronavirus took place in nursing homes. In the UK, care homes were accused of using powerful sedatives like midazolam to make coronavirus victims die more quickly. Use of these drugs increased by 100% during the height of the pandemic. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo sent thousands of ill elderlies to die in nursing homes, all while giving an Emmy Award performance for a gullible public. The media swiftly switched gears when the truth came to light, bombarding the public with Cuomo's abusive actions towards women. This became the reason for his resignation, while the far more serious crime of alleged murdering of the elderly was never thoroughly investigated. If a criminal gets away with the crime, they don't stop. If they do it again the next time, becoming more and more emboldened. As the WHO's power grows, it can choose its diseases and which undesirables will be picked off next. According to the WHO's procedures, the three criteria for declaration of a global health emergency are that it is an extraordinary event, that it constitutes a public health risk to other states through the international spread of disease, and that it potentially requires a coordinated international response. The WHO on July 7th reported a 77% weekly increase in the number of lab-confirmed monkeypox cases to more than 6,000 worldwide, and two more deaths in parts of Africa where the virus has circulated for years. Over 80% of the cases turned up in Europe. We have had an outbreak that has spread around the world rapidly through new modes of transmission about which we understand too little, Tedros said. For all of these reasons, I have decided that the global monkeypox outbreak represents a public health emergency of international concern. The statement, through new modes of transmission about which we understand too little, should raise concern in everyone who remembers the progression of the COVID-19. And when the WHO says things like it is organizing a coordinated response to stop transmission and to protect vulnerable groups, we should now know to interpret it upside down, the way one interprets government propaganda in communist countries like China, as the meaning that is organizing a coordinate response to spread transmission and to infect vulnerable groups, using them as lab rats to be exterminated upon and even killed. It's early days yet. Just as the Nazis experimented on and incinerated not only Jews, but homosexuals, blacks, Romas, the mentally ill, dissidents, anyone deemed as undesirable. The same thing is happening now. Do not ever imagine that you're immune. We are enemies of the enemy. Amen? We're not immune. The enemy's desire is to take us out. But God's desire is to make us whole. Amen? So let me ask you a question. Why are we commanded to love God? Anybody got any answers? He first loved us. Source of our life. We were created to love Him. Without Him, we're nothing. Because He said so. Wow. There it is. So to be fair, some, if not most, theologians do not think that they have discounted the command to love God. But if they understood the command as to do those things to those who make the Shema a part of their life experience, their appreciation of this commandment would be far better. It's built into the Shema that's said every day, sometimes 3 times a day. If we no longer are under the law, as some misquote Galatians 3, which I'll read, "For all who rely on the deeds of Torah are under a curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is anyone who does not keep doing everything written in the scroll of the Torah." Verse 11. "It is clear that no one is set right before God by Torah. For the righteous shall live by emunah, faith." Verse 12. "However, Torah is not based on trust and faithfulness. On the contrary, the one who does these things shall live by them." 13. "Messiah liberated us from Torah's curse, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." 14. "In order that through Messiah Yeshua, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so we might receive the promise of the Ruach through the true trusting faith." Then, are we still under this law? If I'm under grace, then I'm free to cast aside the command to love God with all my heart, soul, and might. If then, why did Yeshua declare this to be the greatest commandment in Matthew 22:38? Clearly, the theologians do not understand what it means to be commanded to love Adonai, your God. If they think it survives their scribe's knife, whether they cut out whole portions of Scripture in favor of their tradition. There's Bibles out there that are missing valuable Scripture verses. Be careful. No, to love Adonai, your God, is not merely an esoteric thing. We are not commanded to have nice feelings for God. Nice feelings. We are not commanded to merely speak about our deep love for Him. We are commanded to love Him with all of our heart, our soul, and our might. Those are not accidental words. They are intentional, and they pertain to all of our human existence. Our all, every part of our being, everything should love God. Right? Everything. Those who think that they can love God and still ignore His will for them, they should think again. Love and obedience always go together. Love and fear always go together. There is far more to this command, love Adonai, your God, than meets the eye of the theologian who is more interested in his hermeneutical traditions than Scripture. Far more. It is why Yeshua called this the greatest commandment, because it contains all of the rest. Family, the Shema is a call of complete allegiance to the King. The Shema is to love the King. That means to completely obey Him. You cannot love the King and disregard His loving instructions found within the Torah. Amen. The most effective tool ever used to draw men and women and children to Adonai is Torah living. Right? We live a Torah lifestyle. And it draws people, because sometimes they're empty with their church living. And we have more to offer. Family, that is the essence of the gospel message, which says that God loves you, wants a relationship with you, and wants you separate and holy for Him. He wants all of you. Yet, we're okay with giving Him some of us. Uh-oh. He doesn't want just some of us. He wants all of us. Yeshua's sacrifice and redemption of us provides for that relationship. By grace, now, He wants you to live your love for Him by living as Yeshua did, faithfully to His gracious instructions. Like today's Torah portion. Davarim. I said earlier that the book of Deuteronomy, the last book of the Torah cycle, is our marching orders for the fall festivals. Amen. These fall festivals are good for us. It helps us to pull our relationship even closer to Him. Each festival is intricate in its operations and its needs. Love is always tied to obedience in God's Word. It is not a creed or a series of I believe that sets God's people apart. It is this single thing. We show our love for Him by love for each other and obedience to Him. He is Malkenu, our King. He is our King. Amen? There is no other. We don't need a king. We already have one. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 through 3. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 14, verse 15 and 21. Torah living will not redeem you. Understand that? Torah living, it doesn't cut. You don't have the salvation and the Holy Spirit in you, then Torah living is useless. We cannot earn His favor. But when we are told we must love Him, it is a command. A result of our loving Him will lead us to life according to His gracious instructions. To obey His commandments. What commandments? Family. God does not change, and neither do His instructions for living. Listen to what Yeshua says about the greatest commandments, the sum of them all. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the Torah? Yeshua said to him, "You shall love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the Torah and prophets. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Tell me, do you love your neighbor? Really? Do you go next door and tell them? Who is your neighbor? Anyone that's in front of you. So when you're in the grocery store, there's your neighbors. When you're in the doctor's office because you're sick, just remember those who are in the lobby are sick too. They're not there just to spend and waste time. They're your neighbors. So many times the lobby is really quiet because nobody wants to say anything. But it's your obligation to say something. It says it right there, you to love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't say anything, then do you really love yourself? Uh-oh. There's too many people walking around on the face of this earth who have never met our Messiah. Never heard of him. Don't believe in God. God's counting on you to be that voice. Amen? Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. Some may have assumed that in these two commands, Yeshua was annulling the Torah. That flies in the face of Yeshua's own declaration in Matthew 5, 17 through 19 about the eternal nature of God's commands. Instead, Yeshua is telling all of us what love for God looks like. He is telling us that love for our neighbors looks like the Torah. The Torah living defines loving God and loving our fellow man. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, loving your neighbor should come effortlessly. The most effective tool ever used to draw men and women and children to Adonai is Torah living. Family, that is the essence of the gospel message, which says that God loves you, wants a relationship with you, and wants you separate and holy for Him. If you are those three things, everything else falls right in line. Yeshua's sacrifice and redemption for us provides for that relationship by grace. So it is not a creed. It's not a series of I believes that sets God's people apart. It is one simple thing. They show their love for Him by loving each other and obedience to Him. God has written a love letter. Hold up your Bible. God has written a love letter to all humanity. It is His self-disclosure, the revelation of Himself. His love for man motivated Him to provide a means for fellowship, which had been terminated by our sin in the garden. Yeshua's work on our behalf is that means of fellowship. When you hold your Bible in your hands, you hold that love letter. And when you see your brother or sister lovingly obeying God, you are seeing that love letter being lived out. So we have our instructions. They're written for our understanding. It's a love letter from our Father, our King. What are we to do? Follow it. Plain and simple. Just follow it. And as Jackie prayed for no fear. See, we have this fear of rejection. Some of the greatest evangelists learn by rejection. Salespeople do too, but we're not selling anything. We're giving it away. Right? We're giving it away. We're living in a society that's full of debauchery. Plain and simple. It's a pain to watch the news. It's everywhere. But it's for a purpose. I hope I'm like you and believe that Yeshua is coming soon. Because if you read through all the scriptures, you know that these things have to come to pass. Right? Don't fear. Remember that prayer that she prayed. Don't fear. Don't fear for your life. Don't fear for your food. Don't fear for your clothes. It just doesn't matter. Fear the Lord. He'll take care of you. His word says it. Do you believe it? Absolutely. And for those who are on the internet listening or watching us, if you don't have that relationship, get it. Just get it. What do you have to lose? Everything. If you don't love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, you lose everything. That includes walking with Him in eternity. That includes eternal darkness. Not me. Not you. Right? Amen? Let's stand. You're it. You'd be it, but Dan's... he's gone. Yeah. Visiting? Yeah. Keep Ryan in your prayers, please. Okay? I believe this time around that he will be completely healed and released from this massive handcuffs that have him trapped. Keep praying for him. Okay? We are his family. Family needs to pray. Right? Go ahead, family.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei peri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. L'chaim.
Wow.
Get it? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lahem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
And who will bring Yeshua forth from the earth in the end days. Hallelujah. Now, in the K building, there's more than that. Somebody made some nice desserts. It wasn't my wife. No. No. But I heard it was going to be good. So we'll thank her when we see her over there. Okay, so, you know, we're all spread out. We need to get together. Tighten up. Tighten up. Come on. Come on. Are y'all just staying over there? Okay, we good? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Amen?
Amen.
You're dismissed.